Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light, for you are nothing else.
Listening to Revolutionary Life.
right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night, if you're new. We're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a call-in show. About halfway through our show, we will announce a call-in time, a space, and we will open up our chat room and et cetera for questions and comments and elaborations, et cetera. All right? And tonight on Revolutionary Life, we're going to be talking about health again. Now, just FYI, we've had some problems electrically, I guess, atmospherically or whatever, in our community, in our part of the country. The sun's acting up, I guess it is, or something, but we're having electrical problems like transformers popping. And so if we get cut off, guys, I'll try to get back on as quick as I can, but we'll see. The last two sessions we did this week, we got cut off midsection and weren't able to get back on for a while. So we'll see. Hang in there. All of our shows are archived. So if you missed this show, if you can't stay for the whole show, there's a on-demand section on our site. And if you look down that site, you will see all of our old presentations, including this one. About an hour after we're done, we'll be listed on that on-demand section. Just stroll down the site and you'll see all of those previous presentations. Pick a topic, this one, in an hour from now, after we finish, and you can replay it at your leisure at any time. Tonight, we're talking about health, guys, and we're going to try this again. We are doing this thing on plant-based yesterday and day before we were cut off. And I admitted up front to everyone. Sorry about that noise. I admitted up front to everyone that I was a vegetarian right off the top. All right. So, you know, if you pick up any biases or anything, the way I became a vegetarian was through experience, a little bit through religion, the rest of the way through study, my own personal study, pursuit of the information. And so a lot of people become vegetarians or change their diets for different reasons in different places. A doctor might prescribe a bland diet. I've seen people who are taken off of eating certain meats, like pork, for instance. Doctors ask them not to eat pork. And so people may go on diets for weight loss as well, you know. There's all kinds of diets out there. However, I went on a vegetarian diet through study. I studied the studies. I did a meta study, I guess you'd say. I looked at several studies on vegetarianism or plant-based diets and nature, not in humans, in nature. All right. Check this out. They found, in my studies, I found that if you look at the digestive system of a meat eater and you look at it in nature, dogs, cats, wolves, if you look at the digestive system of a plant eater, cows, sheep, you'll see that the human being digestive system looks more like the vegetarians inside you than it does like the meat eater. How so? How so? Okay, I'll tell you how so. What they looked at when they opened up the bodies of these creatures was they found that the vegetarian had a long involved flipping around, twisting around intestinal tract. Small intestines, large intestines. When they looked at the meat eater, they saw the meat eater had a very short intestinal tract. So if you cut a human, if you look at a cutaway of a human body in a book or something, if you look at the intestines, large intestine, small intestines, you'll see that our intestines are also long and involved, very much like a vegetarian creature on this earth. So it shows that our digestive system, the thing we used to eat with, is more like a vegetarian thing they used to eat with than like what a meat eater uses to eat with, right? We got a longer intestinal tract, like a vegetarian animal. The story goes that in order for a meat eater to digest their food, they need a high acid content in their stomach. Now, you have an acid content in your stomach, too. We all have something called gastric acids. The gastronomical system is the stomach, right? So, but we all have these stomach acids, these gastric acids. And sometimes people take antacids when they feel they got too much acid or something. And if you have acid reflux, you might take an antacid because that acid in your stomach will come up your throat, your digestive tube, and burn the back of your throat if it comes up high enough. So that acid is very dangerous to other parts of the body, but in the stomach can handle it, right? The stomach produces it, as a matter of fact. So your acid content in your stomach is nowhere near the acid content. And the acid content in a vegetarian animal, a cow, the things you eat mostly, right? The things, cow, chickens, things like that, the acid in their stomach is nowhere near as strong as the acid in the stomach of an animal that eats meat. Why? Think about it. The animal that eats meat oftentimes will be eating raw meat. Now, you cook yours. You tenderize it, bake it, fry it, broil it. You got to do things to it to make it digestible. Don't you? Well, in the wild, they eat it raw, Jack. They eat it raw. And if you think it's hard digesting cooked meat, try digesting raw meat. So animals who eat meat naturally in nature now, currently, these animals have a high concentration of acid, much higher than ours, in their stomachs. And that acid, just like it'll burn us inside if it gets out of hand, acid reflux, reason we take antacids, Tums, and all that stuff. It also burn their animal acid in their stomach, meat eater's stomach will burn them. And this acid of such high content that they move it out of their system as quickly as possible. So their intestinal tract is short. It moves through their intestines quickly and out of them. They don't hang around because the waste they produce is also acidic. On the other hand, a meat eater, when I was a kid, I heard that a cow had more than one stomach. Have you ever heard of that? A cow had several stomachs or something? But I do see, I have seen a picture of a cow's intestinal tract during my studies. And sure enough, there's a lot of places. There's a lot of involved on entrails in a cow or any meat, vegetarian animal, even animal that eats vegetables, has a long involved intestinal tract, just like yours, by the way. And in fact, guys, it's just in short, I mean, it simply meant that what I saw through my studies was that we as human beings on this earth are more likely to be vegetarians from nature, naturally, than we are meat eaters. In fact, it looked like our body was more prepared for eating vegetables, like most vegetarian animals, than it is prepared for eating meat at all, as a matter of fact. Now, check this out. Those people who eat meat will often tell you that, well, those animals that eat meat, they will often be said to be at the top of the food chain, at the top of the food chain, because they don't have predators. A lion don't have predators that he has to run from, or they're going to eat him. He eat other animals for sure. He's a predator himself, the lion or the tiger. And so they don't have natural predators. And so, so they're considered to be on the top of the food chain, right? Because the plant eaters, like a cow, will eat the plant, but the wolf will eat the cow. The chicken will eat the chicken feed, but you will eat the chicken. And so you're at the top of the food chain, right? Because you can eat whatever, you can eat them instead of what they eat, right? So a cow eats grass, you eat the cow. You're at the top of your food chain. But what you're not at the top of is the nutrition, healthy nutrition, energy chain. If you are eating meat in the wild, or a natural animal in the wild, or if you're just a human being who sits down at dinner and eats meat, either way, you might be at the top of the food chain, maybe, but you're not at the top of the nutrition chain, if there's such a thing. And I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you exactly why. You're not at the top of the nutrition chain because you're getting your nutrition third hand. That's why. In fact, of the plant that grows from the ground, gathers nutrition from the sun, minerals in the soil, the earth, water from rain, water or whatever, water and air. It uses just what the earth has. Since it doesn't have to prey on anybody, a tree will use just what the earth has to give, and it will grow to be hundreds of years old and miles tall, some trees. And so very tall, some trees. And so the plant gets its nutrients directly from the earth and the sun and the air, right, and water. And it makes food. It's good to go. Now, a vegetarian like myself, or like a cow or a sheep or an animal that eats vegetables, then they wait for that plant to get nice and healthy and strong. When that plant is nice and healthy and filled with nutrients, the vegetarian comes along and eats the plant. So the vegetarian gets this nutrition secondhand. Only something, now you know guys, there's some folks out there they call breatharians that don't eat. They try to do like a tree does. They take sunlight, fresh air, fresh water, and minerals, and that's it. So they try, they're human beings who try to live like tree plants, you know what I mean? You've ever heard of breatharians. Anyway, the vegetarian gets his proteins, nutrients by eating the plant. That means that he's getting his second hand because the plant got his directly from the sun. You can't do that. You don't. And so you eat the plant after it gets strong. And then, so you're getting your nutrition secondhand if you're a vegetarian, if you're a vegan, if you eat plants, if you're eating a plant-based diet, you're still getting your nutrition secondhand because you can't get it firsthand the way a plant would get it. You can't just take what the earth's got to give, sun, minerals, water, and fresh air, and just grow like a tree for 100 years. If nobody chops you down, there's no reason to stop growing, I guess. But you on the other hand, can't do that, do that. And so you eat the plant, the beans, the peas, the corns, the greens, the lettuce, tomatoes, et cetera, et cetera, for your nutrition. So you're getting your nutrition, if you're vegetarian or vegan, you're getting your nutrition secondhand, not firsthand. Now, if you're a meat eater, guess how you're getting your nutrition? You're eating the vegetarian. You're eating the plant eater. And so not only are you not getting your nutrition firsthand like the plant, you're not even getting it secondhand by eating the plant. If you're a meat eater, you're getting your nutrition third hand by eating the plant eater. So you might be at the top of the food chain as a meat eater. But when it comes to health and nutrition, packed filled with vitamins and nutrients, you get your shit third hand if you eat meat. So you certainly ain't on top of the nutrition chain as a meat eater, though you may be at the top of the food chain. There's a difference between food and nutrition. If you listen to my earlier presentation, you'll hear me tell about my home life where all you had to do was eat and get full. You didn't worry about whether there was vitamins and nutrients in the food. If you got full, you were good to go. Didn't matter whether you was eating pork or chicken or liver or whatever. Whatever dinner was, if you ate and got full, you were good to go. So food and nutrition is not the same thing. I mean, they got some stuff at McDonald's they squeeze out a machine and call it a burger or whatever. But it's highly processed cheese food or whatever. But it don't mean it's nutritious, does it? It doesn't mean it's got any vitamins and nutrients, the stuff to make you healthy. And it does now. And so if you're a meat eater, you're getting your nutrition third hand. You're at the bottom of the nutrition chain. You're at the top of the food chain, but you're at the bottom of the nutrition chain. You have to understand that the only those living things that can take the sunlight, air, water, and earth and grow from, them the only ones that's getting their nutrition firsthand. The vegetarian is getting his second because he's eating the plant after it gets big and strong. And then the meat eater comes along and eats the plant eater after the plant eater gets big and strong. And so if you're eating meat, let's say for instance, and you treated that meat, and we must treat it, you notice. It's not like taking an apple out of a tree and biting out of it. For human beings to eat meat, you generally have to do something to it. We have to tenderize it. We have to boil it. We'd have to broil it. We'd have to fry it. We'd have to do something before we start chomping down on it. Right? And so meat eating doesn't seem to be really consistent with the human body. I became a vegetarian after studying the differences between meat eaters and vegetarians. And I found that the human body was closer to the vegetarian than the meat eater. Now, having said that, I'll say this, because this title was plant-based diet and COVID. Now, what does a plant-based diet got to do with COVID-19? I'm just going to tell you that plant-based diet makes you healthy so you won't get COVID. No, I'm not going to tell you that. What I'm going to tell you is that the COVID virus, listen closely, guys, the COVID virus, like every major viral disease that we have been hit with in this country over the past 20 years. Like every viral epidemic we've been hit with over the past 20 years in this nation and now around the world has something in common with COVID. And you know what that is. All the major diseases we've had to address in this country in the past 20 years were zootopic. Another name for them are called zoonotopic. Zoo implies animal. Zoonotopic. It implies animal because these are all, what I'm saying is that in the last 20 years, the major diseases that we've had to address in this country have been animal diseases. Zootopic, zoonotic diseases, animal diseases, known to be animal diseases. You don't hear me. H1N1, swine flu, swine, pigs, mad cow, cows, beef, avian flu, i.e. bird flu, i.e. chickens, HIV. They claimed that there was something existed called SIV before HIV that affect animals called simian immune deficiency. Simian meaning monkeys, apes, the family of apes, simian. So that was an SIV before there was an HIV. Zootopic. Look it up. Zoonotic. Look it up. In the past 20 years, all the major diseases we've had to address have been animal-related diseases. And here's the thing. I asked, how does an animal disease jump to a human? Now, we know animals have these diseases. But how come all of a sudden now humans are getting these diseases that are commonly known among animals? Well, the answer was proximity to animals. If you lived on a big farm or something like that, you might be in proximity to these animals who have these diseases. And enough proximity, you spend enough time among these animals, you can capture their diseases. That's right. In ancient times, in jolly old England, if you were the king of the manor and you had a giant castle you lived in, you had a lot of maids and help staff around, butlers and whatnot. Well, one of your maids would be charged with going out every morning and ensuring to the cows and ensuring that there was a fresh bottle of milk waiting for the master when he got up that morning. That maid was referred to as the milk maid. Milkmaids start getting something called cowpox. They named it cowpox because cows got it, but all of a sudden now it had moved over to milkmaids. What was their job? To get up every morning and go out and pump fresh milk from cows for the master. So they told me that proximity to animals with these diseases, after a while, these diseases can migrate from an animal to a human. And I thought, what is the greatest proximity you can be to an animal? Because I live in the city. I don't live around animals other than cats and dogs. And I don't own any of those. Well, how about eating them? How about ingesting them? How about proximity when that parts of the animal is inside of you? It's one thing to stand close to an animal. It's another thing to ingest one. We eat chickens, bird flu. We eat cows, mad cow. We eat pigs, swine flu. All of the major diseases in the past 20 years have been zoetopic. They jumped from animals to humans. How do they do that proximity? What's the closest proximity you can get to an animal? Eating one. I'll give you a break on that one. Think about it. I'm going to give you a little music. And then I'll be right back, guys. We're getting close to our call-in section, and I want to hear what you're going to have to say. And so let me give you a little music. I'll be right back. Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. And tonight, guys, here on Revolutionary Life, we're talking about health. We're just talking about health. One of the subjects we've honed in on today was plant-based diets and COVID and what this plant-based diet has to do with COVID. I told you, and I took a break here, I told you guys that all the diseases that we've dealt with in the past 10 years were zootopic. You look up the word Z-O-O-T-O-P-I-C. Look up zoonotic, Z-O-O-N-O-T-I-C. A disease that is zootopic, zoo, like you're going to the zoo, means animal, right? And so if they say a disease is zootopic, like COVID is, then that means it came from an animal. All of the diseases had to deal with major ones that we've had to deal with in the past 20 years in this country have been zootopic. How does an animal disease get to a human? By proximity, being close to animals. Well, I live in the city where you can't get any closer to an animal than to eat one or two or three or million. Meat eating, chicken, avian flu, bird flu, eating pork, swine flu, eating beef, mad cow. Nearly all the diseases have been zootopic because of our proximity to animals. And we have a major proximity eating them. On the other hand, if you're a meat eater, and you're going to continue to be one, you should also know, you should also look up something, a word, an acid called uric, U-R-I-C, acid. There's several types of acids. Uric is one of them, and they settle in your joints. And they cause arthritis and rheumatism and things like that. The reason I want you to look it up, because I want you to find out what is the primary source in the body of uric acid. Now, if I told you uric acid, that's just another chemical to you. But if I told you uric acid is in your body and it settles in your joints, and I told you it was related to rheumatism, gout, arthritis, aching in the joints. So look up uric acid and find out what is its source. You might not want uric acid in your joints. You might not want arthritis associated with uric acid collecting in your joints. You might not want that. And so it might behoove you to just turn the dictionary over to uric acid and see what its primary source is. If it's an extensive definition that you find, you're going to find that its primary source is meat. Its primary source is eating flesh. Its primary source is eating the flesh of the dead animals. Eating the flesh of dead animals causes a buildup of uric acid in the body. Now, I'm a vegetarian, guys, of sorts. I did admit that I was a vegetarian, didn't I? But there are different types of vegetarians. If you start asking people, you'll find that out. There are some people who eat fish, dead animal, and they'll still consider themselves a type of vegetarian because they will only eat fish. You know what I mean? I did not become a vegetarian solely because of some religion or experiences. I studied what it means, what's in nature, what it looks like. Among vegetarian eating animals, vegetable eating animals, and meat eating animals. Some people never do the study. They just tell you, well, I tried being vegetarian one time. It didn't work out, man. I had to go back eating meat. I got sick, da-da-da-da-da. Well, yeah, probably. You didn't study, did you? You just did it. Well, when you study shit, if you take the time to study about being a vegetarian, you should already know if you've done your study, and that's how you tell guys. If somebody's done their study, because in the study of vegetarian, it tells you what you're going to be missing in terms of vitamins and nutrients by eating just vegetables. And it tells you where you can get those vitamin nutrients without eating meat to do so. Yeah, vitamin K, for instance, is a good one. All your B vitamins, that's another one. And so if you study, you know, well, when I become a vegetarian, it says I'm going to have to watch out and make sure I get plenty of these things. But if you didn't study and just started one day, I'm going to try this. And no, maybe you didn't last very long. Shit, I told you I've been a vegetarian over 20 years, man. Over 20 years. Over 20 years, baby, and I ain't got a doctor appointment or a prescription in my closet, in my cabinet or anywhere. All right? Now, having said that, I'll say this. The COVID, and this is why I have COVID in the title with plant-based, guys. I want to speak a little bit about the COVID. The COVID, if you ever seen a COVID virus depicted, illustrated, drawn, you'll see it's got a lot of little spikes around it. Crown. That's why they call it corona, because corona is Latin for crown, coronation, corona. So it has all these little spikes all around it. Those are proteins. And these proteins hooked up to your cell proteins. Your cell has proteins around it. And that little virus can hook up to your cell protein. Here's the thing. The virus came from an animal. So it's familiar with infecting animals. It's been an animal disease before it was a human disease. It was an animal, this virus, before it was a human virus. We got it through our proximity, eating them. Now, the virus has proteins around it that's looking for proteins that it can attach itself to. And since it's familiar with animals, it's familiar with animal protein. Well, here's the kicker. If you're a meat eater, the only 90% of the protein in your body was produced through eating an animal product. And so your body can only use what you put in it, right? So when your body develops proteins, it develops animal proteins. If your primary source of protein, a bean, is a vegetable protein. 7 almonds got as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat. 7 almonds has as much, almost as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat. So protein comes in a vegetarian form and nuts and things like that. And it can come in a animal form, animal protein from eating meat, you get your protein. So if you're a meat eater, that's where your protein derives from, animal protein. Well, if the COVID virus is familiar with anything, it has become familiar with animal protein. It was an animal disease before it was yours, before it was a human disease. And once it enters your body, if it noticed that the proteins in your body are primarily animal proteins, it's not going to have very much hard time hooking up, finding something to hook up to. If the proteins in your body happen to be plant proteins, an animal protein virus, and a virus used to animal hooking up to animals protein, might have a hard time understanding or hooking up to your plant-based protein. I don't even know if it would recognize them. But it certainly recognizes animal protein when it sees it. That's where it came from, animals. And if you're a meat eater, 90% of the protein in your body was produced through animal, through getting your protein from meat, eating the flesh of dead animals. And so just keep in mind that the COVID virus is looking for something familiar when it gets into your system. And if your body is made primarily of animal protein, it's going to feel right at home, I would think. So I wanted to do a thing tonight, guys, on the plant-based diet, but specifically because I understand, I've gone to understand a little bit more about the COVID virus. I've learned that most of the viruses that we've had have been zoetopic. So what is a zoetopic? I had to study that to find out that there was an animal disease that somehow jumped from an animal to a human. And I asked, how is that possible? And they said proximity to animals. And I thought, well, goddamn, how close can you get to an animal than eating one? Than eating its flesh. And so, I am a vegetarian, so you know I'm a vegetarian, so you know that I'm kind of biased on that subject. And so you might assume. However, I'd like for you to take this into account as well. I know you like meat, my family does. But we got viruses, man, and they mutated. And they done took some people out, it seems, a lot of them. Not just here in America, but they say around the world. People are getting sick and dying. It might be time to take a look at your health. And it might behoove you to look into the way I did before becoming a vegetarian. Study the subject. Look into the subject. Don't poo-hoo the subject. Don't throw it away because you don't want to quit eating your pig, your pork, or your chicken. You know you love fried chicken or you love steaks. You like steaks. And you try to eat red meat. You try to get the most expensive cuts and all that good shit. But that's not the case. That's not the problem. The problem is, number one, I've pointed out that you're getting your protein, your vitamins, and your nutrients third hand, first of all, because only the plant gets their nutrients first hand. The vegetarian gets theirs second hand by eating the plant. And then the meat eater in nature comes along and eats the plant eater and gets their nutrition third hand. So you might be at the top of the food chain as a meat eater, but you're at the bottom of the health and nutrition chain on one hand. On the other hand, I'd like for you to go look up uric acid. A lot of people suffer from gout, arthritis, and all you got to do is do a little study, guys, and start with uric acid, and that'll take you straight to the point, is that it's an accumulation of acid, a type of acid that accumulates in your joints. And it contributes to arthritis, rheumatism, gout, and all that good shit. If you don't want any of that, then you won't want any uric acid in your system. Well, you might ask, how do one get uric acid in their system? And I want you to go look it up and come back and tell me if they don't tell you eating flesh of the dead, eating meat, produces uric acid in the human body. So, like I said, and then I said again, when it comes to COVID, COVID is zoetopic. It jumped from an animal disease, known to be an animal virus, to a human disease virus, so a virus able to affect humans. How did it do that? They told me through proximity is how that happened. How close you are to animals is how that happened. And, of course, I extrapolated from that the closest you can get to an animal is to eat one. Get closer than that. To eat the flesh of one of these animals. That's as close as you can get. And I told you, all the diseases, look it up for yourself, guys. All the diseases that we've had in the past 20 years that we've had to address in this country, the big ones, have all been zoetopic. Simian immune, SIV, changed to HIV, H1N1, swine flu. bird flu, mad cow. Come on now. Anyway, they're all animal related, aren't they? Proximity to animals, they say, will cause that to happen. Is it okay? So if I don't hang around animals, it's not going to affect me. I just eat them. Is that okay? That's as close as you can get in proximity. All right. And so I would recommend, as a vegetarian, of course, I would recommend a plant-based diet. I didn't say become a vegetarian, did I? I didn't say become a vegan, did I? I said instead of meat and potatoes, how about potatoes and meat for a change? If it's that hard for you to drop flesh, eating the flesh of the dead, then perhaps you can just make the main meal vegetable, beans and peas and potatoes and pastas and greens and corn and things like that. Butter beans, all kinds of different things you could do, of course, and have a little meat on the side. Now use meat as a garnish like you do vegetables now. So have lettuce, tomatoes, burger, not burger with lettuce and tomatoes on it. Have lettuce and tomatoes with a little piece of burger on. You know what I mean? Plant-based diet literally just means that the basis of your diet is based in vegetables, like your intestinal tract seems to imply, versus meat, which your intestinal tract looks nothing like that of a meat eater. No wonder you have a hard time. No wonder your stomach struggles to produce the acid to break down the food that you eat to the point where you get acidosis, where your system get over acidic. You're trying to digest what you put in it. Flesh of the dead. Anyway, that's my presentation, guys, on plant-based diets. I suggest it. I think it's a good idea. When I look at COVID, when I look at the other diseases that are related to meat eating, I've made my decision. Of course, I made that decision 20 years ago, but I made the decision that I would champion plant eating, plant-based diet. I used to not talk about it. I used to be afraid to talk about it because I wasn't sure. It was an experiment on my part, becoming a vegetarian. So I wouldn't claim that the reason I'm healthy is because I'm a vegetarian. But after 20 years, I'm not an athlete, guys. After 20 years, I don't have a personal trainer or a nutritionist and all that kind of shit. After 20 years of living my life the way everybody else out there has to live theirs, out there on the grind, just changing my diet, I'm healthy. I ain't got a doctor appointment. I ain't got a pill in the cabinet that I have to take, right? And I'm glad of that. And I was associated with my diet now. I ain't scared to say that no more. I used to be scared to say that, guys, because I didn't know. I don't like to talk about shit I don't know. So for years, I would never say, well, I'm probably healthy because I'm a vegetarian. I would never join that bandwagon. Today, I'm on that wagon, guys. 20 years later, over 20 years later, I got reasons to say that a plant-based diet might be the best alternative for human beings than eating the flesh of dead animals. Maybe it will click in your mind, like it did mine, that there's got to be some benefit to eating things with life force still in them, fruits and vegetables, than eating things that are dead. All right, we're moving into our call-in section now. I'm going to open up my chat, man, and I'd like to hear what you have to say on this subject. I can tell you my experience as a veggie, vegetarian, and my studies and the things that I found. And how about yourself? Maybe you found that it didn't work for you. Maybe you found that it did. I don't know. Maybe you don't want it. Maybe you're like me. You're shy about mentioning it because you're new at it. That's the way I was. 10 years went by. I wouldn't tell anybody that I was healthy because I didn't eat meat, because everybody around me did, and most everyone. But over 20 years later, I don't mind saying it. I believe it's true. I got nothing else to contribute it to. I live in the same town most of these folks in my town live in. I've worked all my life the way most folks here worked all their life. I haven't done anything special. Took care of my health. Miraculously. We're moving into our call-in section. Our phone number is right there on our site, guys. And if you hit that number, I'll bring you right onto the air. And I have my chat room open. And so if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have hysterical outbursts, put them in the chat. I'll respond. And if you call me, you go straight onto the line. There's no intermediate. There's no secretaries. So when you call me, you go onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. And everybody will hear my response. I'm going to give you a little music while you think about it. But we're in our call-in section now. I call it your time to shine. Questions, comments, concerns, hit me up. Lines are open. Let me give you a little music to work with. I'll be right back. Thank you. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And tonight, Friday night, our last night of the week, we were talking about health tonight. And I'm your host, Gary, who's talking about health tonight. And so we had we pulled out plant-based diets. I've heard a lot about those recently. And I wanted to speak to plant-based diet because I'm on one. I have been on one for over 20 years. And so tonight's presentation was plant-based diet and COVID. I pointed out to you in this presentation that the COVID virus is an animal virus. We know it affects animals, always has, some animals, weak animals. And those animals caught COVID. However, it wasn't a human virus. It affected animals. Now it's starting to affect humans. Now, when it affects humans, easily. It has an easy time because I found out that the little crown on the virus attaches itself to our cell proteins. Our cell has these proteins around them, and it attaches itself to our cell proteins. Now, those proteins are animal proteins. If you're a meat eater, your body only makes itself out of whatever you put in it. So it can only build itself out of whatever building material you give it. And so if most of your protein came from meat, then the protein in your cells are probably animal protein. If your primary source of protein was animal products, then your body is going to create and make proteins from that animal product, pieces, parts, or nutrients, whatever. And so one thing the COVID virus is familiar with is animal protein, because it came from animals, because it always did attack animals. But when it enters your body, it notices that you got the same kind of proteins, animal proteins, because it seems like you got most of your protein from an animal-based diet, eating the flesh of dead animals. And so the COVID will be right at home in your body, because it will find that your cells, but no other choice than that you eat animal protein, has built itself off of animal protein. So it's very familiar to the COVID. I was just suggesting that if you got your protein from plants, beans, lentils, legumes, whole grains, all that good shit, there's tons of ways. Seven almonds has as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat. I should say almost as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat, 7 almonds. One is vegetable protein. The meat, of course, is animal protein. If you have an animal disease that is familiar with animal protein and somebody's body whose proteins are made of plant-based proteins, the COVID may have a harder time finding an environment suited for its growth. But if the proteins in your body has primarily been built by the consumption of the flesh, of meat, let's put it that way, of meat, then I'm sure the COVID will feel right at home, because it's used to animal protein. That's where it came from, animals. I pointed out that most of the diseases in the last 20 years have all been zootopic, animal-derived. The bird flu, you remember that? Avian flu? You were around then? Were you around when we had the swine flu? Pigs? Were you around when we had mad cow disease? Were you around when we had HIV? And we still got it. Used to be simian immune. Now it's human immune virus. Simian being apes. We knew they get that. They got it. But when did humans start getting it? And they told me that humans get it through proximity. And I said, well, I'm not close to an animal. I said, yeah, you're as close as you can possibly be because you eat them. How much closer to an animal can you get? And so, plant-based diet and COVID, there might be something to that, guys. Somebody better look into that. I don't know. But I told you, I became a vegetarian over 20 years ago, and I did it mostly because of study. And I suggest if you want to go to a plant-based diet, you pick up something and you study what that means. Because the truth of the matter is there are certain nutrients that you will not get directly from eating just plants. And so you will also have to supplement that diet with vitamins like vitamin K and some of the B vitamins. That's what study brings you. Study tells you how it's done. safely. Now, when I became a vegetarian, I went through a step-by-step process where I gave up one meat at a time as I felt I was ready. So it took me a while. But, of course, pork was first. No problem. Next was beef. When I got down to fish and fowl, chicken, birds, and fish. When I cut those two things loose, I was a vegetarian of sorts, because there are different levels of that as well. But I was no longer eating the flesh of dead animals. And that was my goal. I still eat, the reason I said I'm a vegetarian of sorts is because I still eat milk byproducts like yogurt, cultured milk, not whole milk, cultured milk, which is kind of a different animal than cow milk, straight cow milk. You can flip cow milk into something nutritious by letting colonies and colonies of bacteria, good bacteria, overtake that milk and colonize within it. And you get buttermilk and you get yogurt filled with probiotics. Probiotics that get down there in your intestines and eat up everything you don't. Good germs. Keeps you clean. And so I do yogurt products, kefir, for instance. And I do eat things that have been made with eggs. Some people won't touch something that you use an egg to make it, breads and things. So, but I don't have that problem. And so I'm a vegetarian, but of sorts, that's it. And so consequently, I just quit eating flesh of the dead, primarily. And it's been well over 20 years now. And I'm good to go. I feel like I'm good to go. Anyway, my lines are still open. I still have a little time. We're talking about a plant-based diet tonight. And also as it relates to COVID and all zoetopic diseases. My chat room is open. My phone line is open. I'm monitoring the chat. If you call me, my phone number is right there on the site. If you call me, you come straight onto the line. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. Let me give you a little music while you contemplate conversation. Here we go. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, y'all, Monday through Friday. We're here from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is where we talk about the things that affect our lives every day, all day. Except we talk about those things from a revolutionary point of view. You see, the revolution itself is just change, guys. Revolution is just change. Change is inevitable. If you're moving, you will revolve. It's called a cycle. Revolution is just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. The reactionary tries to hold back change. Futile attempt. Just slows things down. Change is the one thing on this earth that's constant. Things are changing as we speak. We try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. Right now, tonight, we've been talking about a plant-based diet. Why are we talking about dieting tonight? Because there's a pandemic out there, and there's diseases out there, and there's illnesses that will take your life out there. Just as sure as a gunman might take your life, there's some diseases out there that will take your life just as well. And if you do not, and somebody said they created COVID in a lab, it probably ain't the first disease they've created in a lab. It's not one more, probably won't be the last disease they created in a lab. If not, if biological warfare is real, World War One, mustard gas. Biological warfare is real, has been real for a long time. How is your biology in the midst of all this? Most of the diseases we've had in the last 20 years have been zootopic. That means there have been diseases that have jumped from animals to humans. I asked, how does that happen? I was told proximity to animals. Well, I live in the city. I'm not proximity to animals. And I was told, you eat them. Bird flu, chicken, swine flu, pork, mad cow, beef. You eat them. How close can you get? So I do recommend a plant-based diet. Instead of meat and potatoes, I just said, instead of meat and potatoes, let's do potatoes and meat. And at one point, you might do like I did. I went step by step into becoming a vegetarian, and I just let one meat go at a time. And pretty soon, there was no flesh in my diet at all of these animals. I don't know if COVID would have a hard time in my system because it was not going to find very much animal protein. It's not going to find proteins or cell structures in my body that were built off of animal protein, the ingestion of animal proteins. Because I get my proteins, I feed my cells with vegetable protein. I feed my cells with the proteins that are derived from vegetables. I feed my cells with almonds. 7 almonds has as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat. I got my protein. You eat a 4-ounce piece of meat, you got yours. That's your choice. But if there's one thing COVID is familiar with, it's animal protein. It came from animals. And if that's what you made of, if that's how your proteins in your body was fed, if that's the building material the proteins in your body had to grab hold to and be used for building, then your proteins are animal proteins also. So COVID might feel right at home. right at home. But not just COVID, guys. All of these diseases. We don't know what's going on out there. Maybe the conspiracy theories are right. Maybe they're trying to take us out. But the thing is that you strengthen your mind. You strengthen your body. You strengthen your spirit. And you're good to go. You've done the best you can do. You strengthen your mind. You strengthen your spirit. And you strengthen your body purposely. And you're good to go. Come what may. But if you don't, them things ain't strong, ain't no vaccine gonna save you, baby. I'm sorry. Vaccines don't cure anything. Look on my list of, you know, all of our shows are archived. And so there's an on-demand section on my site. Look up the one that says vaccines don't cure anything. It's on you. It's on you. That's what that presentation ends up by saying. It's all on you. When a doctor or a nurse or whatever puts a needle in your arm and shoots a vaccine in, they're done. The rest is up to you. A vaccine is supposed to kick in your immune system. But what if your immune system ain't works? Zip. And literally, a lot of people face that. A lot of people are taking medications that literally lowers their immune system. Because maybe they got a disease that's associated with an overactive immune system, like an autoimmune disease, like muscular dystrophy or something. Autoimmune diseases. And so they calm the immune system down by giving you certain drugs. I think they call them statins. Statins or, no, NSAIDs, N-S-A-I-D. If you're taking these things that lower your immune system because you're dealing with an autoimmune disease or an overactive immune system, then that weakens your immune system, baby. So how you can shoot all the viruses and vaccines you want in your arm? Booster shots, double shots? If your immune system ain't waking up, it ain't waking up. It's up to you. It starts to end up being up to nobody. But why not? You go to bed and wake up with your body every day of your life. And the first time it hurts, you go to a stranger and say, what's wrong with me? That means you ain't paying attention. You ain't paying attention. That's what that means, to your own body. Y'all don't have a real relationship. No, there's a stranger that knows more about your body now, if you've been to the doctor and examined and all that shit, than you do. If I sit across from you and say, what did they say you have? And why has it caused that? And what caused that? All you can repeat back to me is what the doctor told you. And it's your body. You know, they're talking about being caretakers of the earth and how we messed that up. How about being caretakers of our own body? Look at how we messed that up. Something like an animal disease can come through and wipe us out. Somebody can create a military virus, a warfare, biological warfare, and that virus will wipe us out instead of our immune system kicking in and mutating and doing what it needed to do. Because it's strong. And it's ready for all comers. And so, it's revolutionary. It's revolutionary. Come on now. If it's the government's plan, if it's the Illuminati plan to wipe us out with these viruses, if it's the Earth's plan, if it's the plan to wipe us out with these viruses, guys, the only way you're going to survive that is isolate yourself into a hole in the ground. Or say, yea, though I walk. Yea. Say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because that's what they want. They live by fear. If I don't give it to them, they're going to have to move on to somebody who is fearful. They'll leave me alone. all my life, I've never gone, I lived in badass neighborhoods around badass folks. But I've never gone for bad. But the bad didn't mess with me. You're going to walk through this valley of all kinds of government programs and Illuminati programs and conspiracies and earth and natural disasters as well. How are you going to take them on? You only got three things to do, baby. Do these three things, and come what may, you'll be ready. The best you can be. Strengthen your mind. Strengthen your spirit. And strengthen your body. And you're good to go. I want to thank everybody who listened in tonight for listening in tonight. We've been talking about a plant-based diet. In particular, we've been talking about its relationship to COVID and animal diseases and the like, zoetopic diseases. And I hope we woke some people up to have some people do some research. That's all we really want to do. It's like we're kind of like a vaccine. We want to kick in your immune system. So hopefully this information might kick in your interest in you. Don't it sound a little ridiculous that you go to bed and wake up with your body for 50 years, 20 years, and when it hurts, you have to go to a stranger, somebody who's never seen you before, and have them tell you what's wrong with you? They don't know shit. They ain't never seen you before. They got to do what? They got to ask you some questions. They got to do some tests. They got to stick a clipboard in your face, give you a pencil, and have you tell them what's wrong with you. They get paid for it. You won't. But you give them, you have more information when you walked in there than the doctor does. When they hand you that clipboard and have you checking off, I take this medication, I have a history of this, my parents never had this, I've never had a heart attack. When you get through scratching off all those things, you educated the doctor. But it's apparent then that you have more information than he did about your body when you walked in that door. He don't know what you've been doing with yourself. You do. He don't know what you've been eating, how late you've been staying up, how worried you are about this, that, or the other. But you do. I trust your diagnosis over his at that point you walked into his office. And he's not going to have a diagnosis anyway. Yeah, he is. He's going to have a diagnosis of sorts. He's going to have what doctors call a clinical diagnosis when you go into a clinic versus a hospital. Your clinical diagnosis is it's just when they tell you, we don't know what it is after they examine you in the clinic. But here's what you can do for the aches and pains. Take this prescription downstairs. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some tests. Then they got you. That's what it gets you. Then we're going to take some tests, and then we'll really know for sure what this is. Could be just a stomach virus. Could be just an ear virus or something like that. But we'll find out for sure after we take a few tests. After we take a few tests. And so consequently, you get what's called a clinical diagnosis. The classical diagnosis will come later after they examine after the tests get back. They might have to send you out to their friend of theirs to get an MRI. That's going to cost you too. And then they might have to do a biopsy, a few more tests. Then they got you. But the thing is, guys, look after your health, because if you don't make time for your health, you'll be forced. Your body will lay you down without your permission, called going unconscious. You'll be forced to deal with your illness. Thank you for listening in, guys. We won't be back till Monday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we are on every weekday night, as a matter of fact, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. I'm your host, Gary. You never know what the subject's going to be, guys. So there's a follow sign. There's a follow button on my site. If you're on my site, you'll see a follow button. If you click that button, then you will be notified when we're live over here. And you may get a heads up on what the subject matter is going to be, what the topic's going to be. All right. Also, at the top of that page, there is a follow button. There is a share button. If you hit that button, you can share this presentation with somebody who might be considering a plant-based diet or who wants to talk about this subject. I'm game. This is a talk show. We always cut half the show off to allow you to talk, to shine. If you have a response, a question, we always open our chat. And so, Monday, we'll be back, 7 p.m. In the meantime, guys, we have a, if you're on our site, just scroll down, you'll see our on-demand section. Those are all of our previous presentations up till today, as a matter of fact, tonight. And you can listen to those at your leisure, 24/7. All right. Thank you again for listening in, those who listened in. And I'll see you guys on Monday night at 7 p.m. with Revolutionary Life. I'm going to give you a little music as we go out. My name is Gary. I'm your host, guys. And I'm wishing you a good night. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Ciao.